Man, what a great day it is to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. It's my favorite place to be. Yeah, hey, see, I forgot that time. Bud's good. He catches on to things. Some of you guys need to take some lessons from Bud. I need to. I forgot all about it. This morning, I'm gonna talk about the cross. And as I was praying about this and thinking about how to share this and what to say, I thought about how in life we get really used to things, right? We get really acclimated to things that we encounter on a daily basis, things that we have, things that we do. And as we get used to things that we have, appreciation for those things tend to fade, right? We start to take those things for granted, and it's like, yeah, I have that. I'm moving on to other things, and appreciation fades, and a lot of times instead of just continuing to be thankful and continuing to be appreciative and grateful, instead we kind of move on to where we want things that are different, or we want more, right? We don't stay content. We're like, we're always pushing forward, and maybe we kind of forget about the things that we have, and sometimes those things tend to not even mean a whole lot to us anymore, because we've already kind of obtained them is how we think about that. We see that with people with their jobs, right? You get kind of like, this is my job, right? We kind of, it's my possession now. It's my job. And so basically it's a lock and I don't need to appreciate anymore. Now I can just complain about it and I can tell people how much it stinks. Somebody who doesn't have a job and I'm telling how terrible my job is. We view that with our homes, right? My home's not good enough. I need something bigger, better. I don't really appreciate it the way that I used to. That's kind of how I was when we lived by the grade school. I got to the point, probably because we remodeled it, living in it for like 10 years, I got to the point where I like hated that house. And I was just ready to get out of it. And it was a good house, but I lost appreciation for it. We get that way with relationships, right? We no longer appreciate them. I've got them. They're reeled in. They're my friend. They're my, you know, whatever relationship they are. And you start to not appreciate them anymore. We see that with marriages, right? When two people start dating, that other person is your world, right? You will do anything for them. You do stuff with them all the time. You can't stop thinking about them. And then people get married and that tends to fade, right? And it's like, now they're not my priority. And now I'm not going to do special things. Like, I've already got her. Why do I still need to buy flowers and take her out and all those things? That's the way that we see it go a lot of times. We see that with church, right? People tend to, this is my church. It's mine. I've obtained it. Now I'm moving on to other things. And they lose appreciation for the church and the things, the relationships they have, the way that God moves and all that comes with church, it tends to fade. And so why is it that we see these things that they mean so much at one point in my life? Whether it's your job, your spouse, your church, any other thing, it means so much to you when you first obtain it, right? It's such a big deal, so tremendous, you want to tell everybody about it. Why is it those things can mean so much and then just a short time later, they're kind of pushed to the side like they're no big deal and you lose that appreciation for them? You know, there's times where I really wish that I could have these dreams, but I wish that everybody could. These kind of like I call them like the Christmas Carol dreams, right? He shows them like what it would be like, life would be like without him. But sometimes I wish that God would show me what life would be like if I didn't have that thing that I don't really appreciate anymore. And how different my life would be, how much that would change, and how I'd be like, no, I want that. Please give it back. You know, it'd create a bigger passion and a desire for those things, because sometimes that's what we need to do, is we need to just step back and we need to think about our lives and the things we have, the blessings, and what was your life before you had that thing, right? What would your life be like if that was removed? What if you were Job, right? Read the story of Job if you want to learn to have that appreciation and that love and desire for the things that you have. What if it was taken away? How would you feel? And that should birth a little more passion about what you have, right? It should make you desire it more. We need to identify things in our life like this and think about, why did I get excited in the first place? Whatever it is that's fading in your life like this, Think about, why did I even get excited in the first place? If it's Jesus, why did I get excited the first time I heard about Jesus? Why was I pumped up when I accepted him into my life? And we need to remember what those things were, and we need to ask God, renew my joy, renew my appreciation for these things. And in Christianity, that thing a lot of times is the cross. We lose that appreciation for the cross, that message of the cross, what took place on the cross. Because at first, when you get saved, when you come to know Jesus, everything's about Jesus and the cross, right? We wear them around our necks still, even to this day. I have a cross on here. We wear them and we see them and they become common, and it's like it's no big deal anymore. Over time, the appreciation fades, and again, we kind of have it, so it's no big deal. Sometimes we forget about it, and we forget about what it means, and instead we're more focused on, okay, I have the cross, I have Jesus, I have what he's done there, so now, God, what will you do for me next? I'm moving on to what else I want in my life. You know, church, sometimes we get to a place where it's time to go back to the cross. It's time to turn back. And the cross, do you know that the cross and the message of the cross has not lost its meaning? It has not faded. It has not become less. And it has not lost any power. It has not lost any impact. The cross has not changed. And if the cross means less to you today than it did when you first heard about Jesus, I'm going to tell you what has changed is probably your view of the cross, or your connection to the cross has changed. But it's not the cross that has changed. It's your love for the message of the cross is what needs to be resurrected. Amen? 1 Corinthians 1:18. Paul tells us, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This message of Jesus dying on the cross for sinful man. Listen, this is the power of God to those that believe. This message is the power of God if you believe it. That Greek word for power is dynamis. It's dunamis, spelled like dynamis, but it's dunamis, meaning power and strength and ability. Okay? It's not just power, it's also strength and ability. And this message of the cross, it provides us with power to overcome, right? The message of the cross provides you with the power to overcome, but it also provides you with strength. Strength to continue on when life is hard, when things aren't going your way. You've got to have not just the power to overcome, but how do I get there? You've got to have the strength to continue on, but it also gives you ability. The ability to be changed by that message of the cross and what Jesus did. And so how do we let something like that become so common in our lives? Something that powerful. Jesus died so that your life could be changed forever. Not for a month. Not for 6 months, but forever. Not even until you die, but forever, beyond that. He died so your life could be changed eternally, and we should continually look to the cross, and we should dwell in the shadow of the cross and live in that message. In Psalm 91:1, he tells us, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There are times when I study one verse and I am blown away by what God can pack in to just a few small words. You know, we're to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Not just get there. Not just get to the secret place of the Most High, but to dwell there, to remain there, to make that our home. A secret place is not just, we think of secret place and we immediately think of go somewhere that's secret and pray. But that's not necessarily what this means here in its entirety. It also means a shelter or a covering. We're to dwell in the covering under the shelter of the Most High. This is a place that hides you from danger. This is a place that protects you. And it's the place of the Most High. Now, the Most High is a specific name for God. In the Hebrew, it's Elyon, which is Elyon. And that means not just highest, but above every other power. This is who God is, above every other power. And if he's above every other power, then that means no other power can overpower him, right? Because he's above them. We're to dwell in that place under the protection, under the shelter, under the covering of a God who is above every other single power that is known in existence or that ever will be known. That's where we're to remain, guys. And I don't know about you, but for me, that sounds like a covering I want to be under. And not just for a season. I want to remain there. Like, God, how do I do this? Right? I want to be there. One that is in the place of the Most High that nothing can overpower. You know, you think about bomb shelters, you know, which is apparently it's a cool thing again to have bomb shelters. I'm really hoping we don't ever need them. There's whole shows about people making bomb shelters. But a bomb shelter during a war, if you think about it, everything you need to survive is in the shelter. Right? I mean, you're going to put the necessities in there. You're going to put food and water and probably, you know, today we're so spoiled, we'd put entertainment and stuff in there. We'd have like electricity and movies, whatever we thought we need to survive. But it's all there and you're protected from all threats when you're in this bomb shelter. You know, it's kind of like when we're under that covering of the Most High, it's like you're in a bomb shelter. But it's even better than that. It's like then there's also this force field around the bomb shelter. And you're never going to run out, right? If you're in a real bomb shelter, like you only have food for how many years? Remember that movie Blast from the Past? Like they had food for so long and it was like, we're running out. So it's time for my son to go out. Xander, you're going to have to go out and see if it's okay for the rest of us to come out. They send him out to go find food and see if it's okay, right? If you're in a bomb shelter, you have a limited amount of time that you can be in there. When you're under the shelter and the covering of the Most High, you're there for good. Everything that you need is provided and it's forever. You don't ever have to try to peek out from under the covering of God and like, is it safe for me out here yet? The answer is no. Stay in the shelter. The food you need is there. The nutrition you need is there. The water you need is there. Everything is already there for you. And if you dwell in this place of the Most High, he goes on to say that you shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Abide here means to remain like we usually use it in the New Testament, but it also means to stop over, to stay the night, right? You can stay the night under the shadow of the Almighty. Shadow is specifically shade, right? What do you use shade for? Protection. We use shade for protection and for rest. This is a place where you can stop over and rest and relax. If you're under the covering of the Most High, if you're in his covering, his shelter, protected from the world, when things are getting rough, you can stop over in the shade of the Almighty, the shadow of the Almighty. You can stop over there and get a break, take a breath, get a rest. This shade is specifically for protection. Again, you think about when you're working out in the sun. Besides having water, what else do you really need? Shade. You're like, you know what? If I can just get a couple minutes in the shade, I'll be all right. Right? If I'm out working in the sun, if you guys have seen me, we bought a deck on Facebook, took it apart with some friends and brought it over and we've been putting it back together. There's no shade over there. Right? So I got like a pop-up canopy out there and I'm like, I work for 5 minutes and stand in the shade for 5 minutes. Because when you're in the sun, you need shade. You've got to get that rest, that break, that protection from what's beating down on you, or it'll wear you down and wear you out. You've got to have that. And so when you're in the sun and you're hot and you're sweating, you need protection from the elements. You need shade. And you need shade so you can get rest. And it's amazing how much better you can feel if you just take a short break. Right? If you just take a short break in the shade, it's like, you get back out in the sun and you've got energy again. And then you know what? I'm out of energy. I got to get back to the shade. when Christy and I were at the pastor's retreat we went to earlier this year, there's this beautiful park up there in Freeport called Crepe Park, and it's just one of those places you go and you're like, where do things like this exist? I thought this was only on TV, this amazing park. Well, they've got this, is it a river? I guess it's a lake or a pond or something. It's not a river because it's not really moving, but you can get on the pedal boats, which theirs all look like ducks and dragons, and they got these big old things. And you get out there and pedal. You know, it was really nice outside. We're like, let's do that. It's half price on, you know, Tuesday or whatever. So we did that. I'm going to tell you what. It was H-O-T hot, right? Where it's, you need to spell it out because it's so hot. It was so hot. We get on this thing and we're just like, I'm sweating all the way through my shirt already. And we like, we have to go down. But as far as you go down, you have to turn around and come back, right? That's the bad thing. Don't ever forget that when you're in a pedal boat. Wherever you pedal to, go about halfway where you think you can go because you've got to turn around. And so we would be pedaling, and then it's like, oh, it is so hot. I see a tree up there. We'd be as fast as we could. I mean, you picture me and Christy sitting in this thing, and we're getting it. Like, I mean, just as fast as we could pedal. And we had to look ridiculous because people were looking at us like, what are they doing? And we were making a big commotion, a bunch of waves too. But we would get to that shade tree, that rest area, and we would just sit there. It's like, whew, all right. It's like, you ready? Yeah. And we would pedal, we'd start off slow, and then we'd be like, we got to get shade as fast as we could. We'd get to the next one. And that's the way we did the whole thing, as we would see the shade, the next shade coming, and just seeing it would give us enough power that we're like, we can do whatever it takes to get there. Whatever it's going to take, however much power we need, we're going to get to that spot again because we need to make it through the heat and get that rest. You know, shouldn't knowing that there's shade, knowing that there's rest and recovery in the shadow of the Almighty, shouldn't that motivate us sometimes to pedal through whatever we're going through in our lives as fast as we can? Get through this situation as fast as I can, whatever it takes, whatever power I've got to exert, I'm going to put it out there because I know that there's shade right over there. I know that there's rest right over there. If I can just get there, I know that it's waiting for me. Shouldn't it give us that motivation to get there? We're talking about the shade of the Almighty. Almighty is the Hebrew word for Shaddai, which you may have heard before, and it means most powerful. This emphasizes the power of God. It's saying the shade is under the Almighty. It's under the most powerful of all creation, of all things that we know. It's under the most powerful. Again, the message of the cross is foolishness for those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. The shade is under the Almighty, the powerful God. The message of the cross is the power of God. Remember I said at the beginning, the message of the cross gives us the power to overcome, strength to continue, and it gives us the ability to be changed. Listen, the fact that Jesus died on a cross to save us from our sin, and he took our place, that he offers us forgiveness, that he offers us grace, that he loves us more than we will ever comprehend in this life. That message alone by itself provides you with the power to overcome, to pedal as fast as you can in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the heat, with your eyes on the shade, that I'm going to get there, whatever it takes. That same message provides us with the strength to continue on, to battle, right? Even when we're tired, even when it stinks and it's terrible, it gives us the strength to continue on, to keep pedaling. I don't think I can go any further. Yes, you can. The message of the cross gives you that power. The message of the cross also gives you the ability to be changed. Once you get in the shade, you will find rest. It's a promise. It's a guarantee that under the shadow of the Almighty, you'll find the rest and you'll find the refreshing and you'll be ready to go again. It might not seem like it, but if you can just get there, I can tell you that it'll happen. This message of the power of the cross is the power of God in our lives. This is a place where we should intentionally turn to. It's a place we should continually turn to. That's not just a Good Friday or Easter season message when we preach about the cross. The cross is an everyday message. Amen? Go back to the cross where Jesus died. And you know what? We're supposed to die there too. 1 Corinthians 15:31. I affirm by the boasting in which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily, is what Paul said. Listen, this cross is the place where we lose our lives because that's the place where Jesus purchased us a new one. That should be a little more exciting than that. The cross is the place where we go to lose our lives, to die to ourselves, because that's where Jesus purchased us a new one. Amen. You know, each day we have to choose to go to the cross. Each day we have to choose that today I'm going to give up my wants, my desires, my hopes, my passions. I'm going to give up my life today at the cross. We have to choose to do that. That's why Paul says he dies daily. It's not a once and for all thing. What Jesus did was a once and for all thing. We have to continue to return. We have to continue to go back. In Galatians 2:20, Paul also said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen, if you've chosen to follow Jesus, it's no longer about you. It's no longer about you. It's about him and his love for you. It's about you've been crucified with him. That means you died with him, and that means you no longer live. But it's him living through you. In Romans 6:8, he tells us, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him, for the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, this is where we're called to be, to die with Christ. But it's not just, oh, poor me, I have to give up my life. You get to live with Christ too. Now, that makes it sound a lot better to me. It's not just about dying, but it's that you get life. Listen, church, when Jesus said he came to give life and give it more abundantly, he meant that he came to save us, but he also meant that he came to be with us, to live through us. That's the abundant part of the abundant life. Life with the active power of the living God. That's what we're supposed to be walking in. This is why we go back to the cross. We need to not just remember Jesus and what he did, but we also need to sometimes remember the things that he said. We need to get a self-reminder. In his death, he said a few things here. I want to look at what he said in his death and what he said in his living. In Luke chapter 23, verse 34, in his death, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. Right here, even as Jesus is dying on the cross, he had compassion for those that mocked him, for those that denied him. And we need to remember, just the same as he did those people there, that he loves you. Say, Jesus loves me. He does. He loves you. And he, in his death, was pleading for the Father to have mercy on all that need mercy. How many of us need mercy? He pleaded on the cross for the Father to show you mercy whenever you need it, even though you don't deserve it. And then in his living, he says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How amazing is that? It's kind of a big deal. Do you know that? This is why you should pray. This is why you should talk to God about what's going on in your life and where you're failing, because he already knows, instead of trying to hide it from him. Because if you will just come before him and you ask for forgiveness, he says, yes, it's yours. You can have it. And this is why if you don't know how to do that on your own, you get with somebody that can help you, that can walk you through it. You come to an altar call and you ask them to help you, to show you, to teach you. Not only can you be forgiven, but he says you can be cleansed. Right? You can be cleansed. You no longer are going to stink. You're no longer going to be dirty, but cleansed. Also in his death, in Matthew 27:46, says about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Hebrews tells us that Jesus faced everything that we face, right? He was tempted in every way. Every way. But I'm going to tell you that in death, Jesus puts himself in a position to face something that you and I will never have to face in this lifetime. The abandonment of God. The abandonment of God. He put himself in position that when he bore our sin, and it was so great, it was so tremendous, so overwhelming, that the Father in heaven turned his eyes away. That he looked away, that Jesus was there by himself. He was abandoned because God had to separate his holiness from that sin. And for the very first and only time, Jesus had to feel that emptiness to a degree that we will never know, to a degree that we will never have to bear. And he did that for us. In his living in Matthew 28:20, he said, I am with you always. I'm with you when? Always. Even to the end of the age. Even until the end of the age, until I return for you, I'm still here. See, if we live with him, he's already here. He's with us, and even to the unbeliever, they have the Spirit of God working in their lives, trying to lead them to Christ, trying to show them, even through creation, who he is. And the presence of God Almighty is still in this world. So to some extent, they are not abandoned. Even when they don't know him, even when they're separated from him, he still has influence in their life. And you know what? If they ever, for one moment, decide, I'm going to cry out for Jesus, he'll answer like that. Instantly. Jesus also in his death, he told us in John 19:28, said that Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. He's in this abandonment on the cross and he says, I thirst. And the soldiers give him this sour wine with hyssop, which is kind of like mint on a sponge, and they stick that in his mouth. But you know what? That's not what he had in mind when he was telling them that he was thirsty. As he died, he was thirsty for life. Guys, we don't even realize the significance of this, that he was thirsty for life, the victory, the life of victory over his pain and over his suffering that he was going through. The life of victory over sin. The life of victory over death. The life of the men and the women and children that would come back into right relationship with the Father because of what he was doing. These are what the things that he was thirsting for. And when he was thirsting for it, it wasn't just like, I would like something to drink. No, he thirsted. That's when you're desperate. That's when you have to have it. And he's on the cross and he's in this place where the Father had just abandoned him, and he says, I'm thirsty. He's longing for the lives of the people that he's saving. He's longing for that relationship to be made right. He's longing for it. He has a desire for life. Isn't that where we find ourselves when we're at the point of death? We feel like we're at the point of death, you know, in our spiritual life. We're spiritually weak. Don't we really thirst for kind of the victory of life? Don't we thirst for, I wish things were better. I wish that God would intervene. I wish that that God would do something here because this is not how I want it to be. We thirst for that life, that living water. And as living in John 4 tells us, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain springing up into everlasting life. This is the ticket right here. Jesus is the living water. He doesn't give the living water. He is the living water. And he tells us that the living water will become like a fountain within us that will spring up into everlasting life. When we have faith in him, we have life in him. And when we have life in him, it's always the victorious life. If we lose at every single thing in our lives, if we feel like we're always on the short end, right? We're always drawing the short straw. You're still a winner because you have Jesus. What does any of the rest of it matter? I'm not saying it's not hard, but I'm saying if you have Christ, what is any of the rest of it? Because it's not gain, right? It's not gain because it's all going to go away one of these days. You have Jesus, you are victorious, and that's the desire that you've got to feed. The desire for more of him, getting in the word and praying and worshiping, right? He came to give us life, and it's life so great that our thirst will be quenched, right? Where we don't need more, and it's quenched for good. And finally, in his death, in John 19, it says, so when Jesus had received that sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. You know, when we go back to the cross, remember, this is the message that to those who are spiritually dying, it's foolish. To them, it's foolish, but it's the power of God to those that believe. When we go back there, we can nail anything to that cross and we can declare it finished. We can declare it done. We can declare it over with. We may still be living through it, but we can declare that it's finished. This has been taken care of. And just as sure as Jesus' death completed the payment for our sin, we can be just as sure that when we nail something to the cross, we can say it is finished. We can say it is done. If you've died with Christ on that very same cross, you can say to the things that trouble you in life, they are finished. In his living, he says in John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome. You can have peace. And you can be of good cheer. Sometimes we kind of see it as an either or. I can either have peace with this situation, I don't really like it, but it's not going to bother me. Or I can have good cheer, but you know, I'm still kind of worried. No, you can have peace and good cheer during the trial, during the hard times and the tribulation. And I know that's hard to remember when you're in the midst of it, when it's beating down on you. I know that that's hard, but that's why we need to look back to the cross. And we need to remember what Jesus did. We also need to remember these things that he told us. We're looking back to where Jesus paid it all. And we're looking to him who is the one who can calm the storm, who can bring us the shade. He says it is finished. And he says you can have peace and you can have joy because it is finished. It's time to go back to the cross. Again, the cross hasn't lost its meaning. The cross hasn't lost its impact or its power. The cross has not changed. So what is it that you need this morning? I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet this morning. And if you would, bow your heads and close your eyes. And just think about for just a moment here. What do I need? You can ask yourself the question if you want to, verbally or in your head, if you want to write it down. But what do I need? I'm going to tell you that whatever it is that you need in your life, that the message of the cross will give you the power to overcome it. It'll give you the strength to keep going, and it'll give you the ability to receive the change that God has for you. It's time to run to the shadow of the cross, because it's only in that shade where you find rest. The rest of it, you may have the power to overcome, and you may have the strength to keep going. You may have the ability to change, but you've got to get in the shade for a moment if you want to find the rest, if you want to receive the change, if you want to receive the refreshing. So ask yourself these questions this morning. Do I need forgiveness? And if you need forgiveness, I want you to come. And I don't want you to hesitate. A lot of times it seems like people wait and wait and wait and come to an altar call. And if that's you, don't hesitate. And don't worry about other people. Get down here. If you need forgiveness, I want you to come. If you ask yourself, do I feel alone? Do I feel abandoned? Do I feel like I'm kind of on my own and I've been kind of hung out to dry and nobody's coming to pick me back off the line? If that's you this morning, I want you to come forward so we can pray with you. You can ask yourself, am I thirsty? Am I thirsty this morning? Do I desire more of God? Do I desire greater power of God in my life, the greater presence of God in my life? And I'm thirsty and I need that filled. If that's you this morning, I want you to come forward. And if you have a situation in your life that you need to just be over, you need to nail it to the cross and you need to be able to declare over it that it's finished, that it's done, that it doesn't have power over you, that it is defeated and destroyed in the name of Jesus, I want you to come forward for that as well. Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for what Christ did on the cross in our behalf. And God, we just ask you right now, Lord, that you will provide what we need. Lord, that you are the giver of life. You are the one that changes, that transforms, that renews, that restores. And it is only in you that we can find this rest. It's only in the shadow of the Almighty, the powerful one, the one who is greater than any other power that we know. That's where we obtain that rest. That's where we obtain that shade where we can sit back and finally take a breath and a break from what troubles us. So we ask that as we come to the shade today, God, that that rest will be found. We ask that if we come for any of these number of things or anything else that I have not mentioned that's plaguing us that we need prayer for, that as we come forward, that we'll be under the shadow of the Almighty, Lord, but that we will also be under that covering of the Most High, that protection of the Most High, where the things of this world, they may keep bombing us, they may keep coming at us, but they can't cause any harm to us, because we are under that covering of the Most High. So we ask that for each and every person here this morning. And as we worship you right now, God, we ask that you be pleased with our worship. We ask for the prayers, God, they be impactful and that they change people's lives, that it's your power that changes lives. It's your spirit that changes lives. And we ask you to do that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.